Good afternoon, everybody. This is Steve Rivera, and welcome to my new show, Eye on the Ball, day three of this hostage situation I have you on. I hope you're still with me after the day two and day one, which I had a lot of fun last week joining the KVOI team here on 10:30 a.m. I have, a cool day today with a couple of guests. I have Craig McMillan calling in from California. He's in Northern California and is a coach up in the JC area, Santa Rosa, California, in fact. And everybody should know that Craig McMillan is the former U of A basketball player from 30, 35 years ago, a long time ago. And I have in studio Francisco Romero, a guy I consider a good friend, and he's the voice or his, Spanish voice of the Houston Astros, a local kid gone big time. And he's in studio with me, and he'll probably jump in every now and again for this first hour and be here for the second hour. But welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the first couple of shows. I want to get started in my first segment with a pretty good weekend of Arizona sports. Kind of shaky at times, depends on what sport we're going to talk about. But let's talk football first. You want to join me real quick, Francisco, in the discussion? You saw both the football and basketball games.
Well, thank you, first of all, Stephen. Congratulations on your new show. Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor. And I do consider you a good friend. Hopefully you do the same thing. But thank you and congratulations again.
Checks in the mail, Francisco. Thank you. Thanks for reading that script well. What did you think about the football team? I have some points here, but it was almost your first or second game, correct?
This is the second game that I've done.
So you might be the lucky charm that you came for Oregon, you came for this one. They might have to take you to Washington State.
And you know what? I watched the game in Houston against the Cougars,
yes.
But I only watched it as a fan, of course.
Because that's where you're at.
That's where I was in Houston during the baseball season. Mm-hmm. But it really didn't surprise me because of the team that I had seen last year, and some of the players were, of course, are the same. But it surprised me the way they started this year. And now that I got to broadcast the games, I'm like, wow, how can we lose so many games at the beginning? And this team is awesome. It's great. I mean, Tate, he hasn't run much in the last two games, but his passing skills and Taylor running skills, mm-hmm. Poindexter. So, and on the defensive side, you know, we have a great team. I mean, at least the last two games that I broadcasted,
right.
It's shown that it's a very capable team of playing against anybody.
The first 2 months looked very bleak, didn't look very good in terms of sample size because every game was an adventure and it wasn't very good. They had started playing well after the Oregon State game, running the ball better, and I think J.J. Taylor was a big part of that, obviously, and they won the game. Oregon State's not that good, but they still won the game. In the last 2 weeks, you know, they won a game last week that I thought it was unimaginable against Oregon, and they looked good doing it. Over the weekend, they played fairly well, good enough to win or well enough to win. But right now, I think Khalil Tate is kind of finding his groove with throwing the ball and running the ball. He had that 25-yard run that kind of got everybody excited and said, hey, he's back. Oh, yes, yes. And then he went back to throwing, which he wants to do. And then you talked J.J. Taylor. What did you think of him?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, I had heard of him. I had seen him before, and I had watched him on TV because mm-hmm. I was in Houston. But now watching him in person, he really breaking tackles. He goes up the middle, to the right side, the left side. And he's very capable. I mean, his yardage. He's
right.
What, top five in the country, top 10 in the country?
Right, 200-yard game last week and then almost a 200-game this week.
But the other thing that I want to point out, Stephen, you probably can elaborate a little bit more, is all three aspects of the game work very well. Offense, defense, and the special teams.
Special teams have come around in the last couple of weeks. Kicking game's been very good. Hitting field goals more consistently. 55-yarder the other day, which, you know, you don't see very often. I think the record is 57. He is a co-holder of that record, the guy who hit the 55-yarder. His name escapes me, but it's Cartagena, to say what it is. Colin Schooler playing out of his mind on the defensive end. And then you brought up the defense playing very well, very aggressive, and attacking mode, something they didn't do in the first couple of weeks, first 6 weeks.
Yeah, so they were able to, I mean, against the Oregon game, it was like, wow, this is out of a script, you know, and it's what you talk about during the meetings. This is what we need to do to win the game.
Right.
And they actually did it.
Right. Now, all of a sudden, Arizona has a chance to win the Pac-12 South. Unimaginable just a month ago because this team was all but dead. And now they have a chance. Things will have to fall their way. But, hey, the one thing you can have in life is a chance. You try to take it.
No, tell me about it. We've seen it many times. And so you try to take it. and now you have to grab it. I mean, they got two games left, the last one against ASU, but first you have to go to Washington State and win that game.
Which is not going to be very easy.
No, it's going to be a very hard game to win.
Yes.
But again, I mean, we thought the same thing of Oregon, and
correct,
they played exactly how they needed to play to win the game. But I guess at this point in time for the fans, it should be exciting. It should be an exciting time to be an Arizona football fan.
Right.
I mean, we're supposed to be objective here and supposed to be neutral. But the reality is you have to be excited about this next two coming games.
I think the fans are more excited now than they were a month ago. I'm not sure that shows in the attendance. You've been to the last two, and you've seen big attendance through the years. You grew up here, obviously. It hasn't been good. It hasn't been good all year. You get maybe 40, 42, at least that's what they're announcing. It could be less than that because in the physical bodies rather than the announced attendance. But that's been very disappointing. I know the late games are tough to go to, and you can watch the game on TV on a nice big screen or whatever. But it's been disappointing, I think, because the people in the butts sell buy Cokes and now beer and things like that. It's they need the money.
And the other thing is that I walked around all the new facilities, all the new stuff that's at the stadium. It's pretty neat. It's pretty cool to be at the stadium, and you need to be there. There's nothing like being at the football game, especially now that the team is back to winning. But the reality is that the University of Arizona has done very well on the way they've done the new things at the stadium, the new stands.
Right.
It's pretty neat. I think people should be there.
When did you go to school here?
And late 80s, early 90s.
So are you sure you went to school? I have to check your transcripts.
I did go to school sometime. No, I did go to school. I spent a lot of time at Louis Lower Level, if you know where that is.
No, thank God. Probably that sounds not like a good place. But I ask because the changes that you have seen in that time since you were a student, unbelievable.
Look, the Arizona Stadium as a stadium as a whole is pretty neat because it has the touch of an older stadium, of something of, but now with the touch of the new, you get both of the best of both worlds, and it has changed a lot. Let me tell you, but it's still a great experience to be at Arizona Stadium.
Yeah, and then the indoor, McHale, how they've changed that because you were gone for a moment and then you came back. I mean, I've been here 30 years. I got here in '87, and it's changed tremendously.
I actually took a class on McHale. I took a racquetball class.
With Coach Larson?
With Coach Larson, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him the other day. I took a picture with him. I have to post it. But he was my teacher. I took a basketball class at Bear Down Gym, which is their offices now.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I can't go play basketball anymore.
No.
I took a basketball class there with Dave Strack. Remember Dave Strack?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I took a class with Dave Strack, another basketball class with Coach Larson, and a racquetball class with Coach Larson at McHale.
Mm-hmm. Two good guys.
Very good guys. Actually, I was sick one time and watching ESPN, and there's Coach Strack directing coaching the Final Four in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wow, he's my teacher. I didn't know he had coached the Final Four.
Oh, right. And Larson, obviously a longtime coach and a longtime sports figure.
Yeah, and we see him all the time at the football games. Mm-hmm. But talking about the changes, yeah, I did take classes there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time when we could watch practice with Lute Olson.
Those were the good old days. We don't get to watch much anymore except for the
but
games.
But as a student, I got to watch practice.
Sure.
Rooks and Matt Muehlbeck and all those
guys. Early 90s. Yeah. What did you learn in those practices?
I just cheered.
At practice? There's no cheering at practice.
At least correct me if I'm wrong, but I would at least see 200-300 people for 100 people.
Oh, probably,
more?
Yeah.
Maybe more at the practices?
Yeah. It was great. It was good. It was a nice access to the team back in the day.
I remember Brown Williams interacting with the fans, shooting the ball from half court, and fans clapping at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's a different era now.
Yeah.
We don't get to see much, and that's fine. Let's talk about basketball real quick. The game last night, what were your impressions?
Quick team, the guards. Williams is obviously pretty awesome.
The Williams, both Williams, yeah.
And the other thing is that I would like to, Marcelo was
good.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much, he's not in the starting lineup, but I think he'll have a lot
he'll
of
play
impact.
About 10 minutes a game,
yeah,
maybe.
So, Jeter. I wanted to see Jeter.
And what did you think? And you can be as critical as you want, because I could be.
No, Jeter, I think he's going to grow into a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're still learning the system. I haven't talked to coach like you do,
mm-hmm.
but I think Jeter is going to grow into a great player, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure.
But as of now, They're very young. We're accustomed to seeing, you know,
the good old days where they're really good. Yeah.
Even older. Last year, the year before. Mm-hmm. But again, I think if they buy into the system and if they, play the way they play, and also the classes that are coming up are going to be pretty good. So it may be a hard year this year, but it should be. It should be fun to watch these guys run a lot.
Okay, we'll talk about that more in the next break. And in the next break, I think we're having Craig McVeil call in. So we'll take a break right now. Thanks for joining us.
It's time for a change in Southern Arizona. Our Legislative District 2 community has been forgotten by the legislators in Phoenix, and it's time to show them the possibilities and the opportunities here in our border communities. I'm an educator, business owner, and a problem solver. I understand our issues. We need to send somebody to Phoenix who will fight for our community. It's time for a change in Southern Arizona, a time for prosperity and hope for the future. Elect me, Shelley Keyes, for the Arizona State Senate, and we will work together for our community.
Paid for by Keyes for Arizona.
How would you like to keep your state tax dollars here in Tucson while helping a child? This is Kim with the Institute for Better Education, or IBE. We are a private school tuition organization committed to removing any financial obstacles that stand in a family's way of providing the right K-12 education for their child. Through the Arizona Private School Tax Credit Program, you can recommend a specific private school or child and receive a dollar-for-dollar state tax credit at ibescholarships.org. Together, we can make a difference in the lives of Arizona children at ibescholarships.org.
Goodwill joins with our friends and neighbors all across the country by celebrating Veterans Day and the contributions of all soldiers, airmen, sailors, Marines, and Coasties to the freedoms we all hold so dear. To celebrate, we're having a 50% off Veterans Day sale on Sunday, November 11th. Discount can be applied to the purchase of donated items only. So celebrate with Goodwill with 50% off donated items, but only on Sunday, November 11th. Goodwill's 50% off Veterans Day sale. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Lorena with La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant. My dad started in the restaurant business as a dishwasher before I was born. He worked his way up through various positions and later started his own restaurant. For over 5 years, we have been serving delicious Jalisco-style Mexican cuisine in Tucson. Our food is a labor of love stemming from the most authentic and traditional recipes. Bring your family to have lunch or dinner with my family at First Avenue and Tangerine or at LaHaciendaAZ.com.
This is Chandler with Mission Heating and Cooling. Our mission is to offer quality HVAC systems, provide excellent customer service at an affordable price. We can save you one-third of the cost of a normal system because we get our products direct from the distributor. We will make sure your HVAC system is properly installed and maintained. We also offer free estimates, free diagnostics, and no trip charge. Call Mission Heating and Cooling today at 822-8499 or online at arizonamission.com, 822-8499.
Ah, the sounds of autumn. A babbling brook. Birds chirping. A cool fall wind. A gentle rain.
What? I can't stand this. I hate that sound. I hate when my car won't start. I don't want to live.
Don't let that sound ruin your fall season. Take your car to Ramsauer's Automotive on the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge or at ramsauersauto.com.
Trust it, local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera here on KVOI 1030. I'm here with Francisco Romero, and we're expecting a call from Craig McMillan anytime. I think he's on the line. Can you hear me, Craig?
Okay, great.
Hey, can you hear me, Greg?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, you?
Thanks for calling in. I'm doing well, thank you. I just wanted to talk to you about your beginning season of basketball. Another year, it's about how many years now, about 20-something?
This is my 19th year at Santa Rosa.
Almost 20, okay. And you already started over the weekend. How'd you guys do?
Well, we played 3 games in the San Francisco City College Tournament, and I don't have my voice, so I apologize. We have a young team, and we were 2-1. We played well against Mount Sac. That's Pete's alma mater. We beat them the first game, Pete Williams' alma mater. And then we played Arizona Western in the second game, and they have a good team. We didn't play well at all. They kicked their butt, and But then yesterday we bounced back and played a really strong Fresno City College team when we won by 2 points. We were down five with a minute to go about 2.5 minutes to go. We're down five and we came back, hit some big shots. That was a good way to end the tournament.
It's funny. You've been doing this a long time now. And I was over the summer, I think it was, and we see each other for the Lute Olsen Fantasy Camp. We have you in, and we were gracious to have you. But I was asking somebody, because Steve Kerr now is a former teammate of yours, obviously, and he's a head coach at the NBA level, and there's a lot of guys at the NBA level or college level. Did you ever want to step up and do something like that?
You know, I had my fill of the Division I stuff. I helped out at Arizona my fifth year when I was done playing, and then went to Marquette for 5 years and was in Tennessee for a couple of years. At one point, my goal was to try to be a major college head coach and win a national championship and do all that. And, you know, as time goes by, I kind of changed my goals, and I like the level I'm at now. You can kind of keep it in perspective if we – lose a few games and, you know, you're not calling for my head.
Right.
And you can have somewhat of a normal lifestyle as far as the, you know, not being on the road all the time and not working 80 hours a week every week.
Right. Someone had told me that. He says, why would he ever do that? He's found his niche. You're a big fisherman. You have a great place to do that at up in Northern California. And you have a great life. Why mess with it, right?
Yeah, I enjoy my lifestyle. My youngest son is playing for me now. He's a sophomore on our team, and that's kind of exciting. My oldest son played for me a couple of years ago, so that's been enjoyable as well.
Right. Does it seem like more than 30 years now, I think it's 31 now, since you've been gone from U of A? Does it seem that long ago?
Not at all. We get together like for the fantasy camp and hang out with all the old players. It seems like 10 years ago we were hanging out. It doesn't seem like that long at all.
Right. How much fun was it back in the day?
Oh, it was a great place. Great place to go to school, great environment, great teammates, coaching staff. Everything was a great experience being in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I think I obviously did a chapter on you for the book, my latest book, and I had asked you how much pressure, if that's the right word, that may be too much of a word. When you came here, you were the first McDonald's All-American Lute ever got here or to Arizona. Was there much, or did you kind of just, you know, you played?
I don't know. I didn't read all the articles and all that stuff. We kind of were too busy to be following the stuff like some fans do. You know,
right.
Just playing basketball and going to school and that, those sorts of things.
What was your – obviously getting to the Final Four was a great time, but is there any more behind-the-scenes type of fun stuff? Because you had some great people, Sean Elliott, Steve Kerr, Kenny Lofton, all those guys who kind of – were not kind of. They were your teammates for such a long time, and you were together for 4 years.
Well, we had some characters on our team, as you know, and some very sharp, talented people. And the guys, a lot of them went into coaching or played professional basketball, and whatever the players that played
sure.
went into, they're all successful in their fields. And it's just a fun group of guys to be around, and we had all kinds of good times,
right,
on and off the court.
With a successful, very fun, you know, that run to the Final Four, kind of picked up the fan base in Tucson, and just kind of you took them on a great ride.
Yeah, it was a great time to be there when they were just building the program. Went from, you know, zero energy in the program to, you know, probably the best fan base in the country or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm. When you're here, I know you're here not that often, but you're here at the Fantasy Camp a lot. That McShot, how many times do you have to hear about that?
I've had to tell that story a few times. Yeah, the funny thing about that, it was not that difficult to play. The ball landed on my lap, and I had to, you know, put it in from 1 foot away from the basket. But it was a big win. It was exciting. It was a very memorable experience.
Hey, I'm still waiting 50-some years for a ball to land on my lap so I can make a basket. I would have fumbled it. So tell me, what's up ahead for your your basketball team up in Santa Rosa?
You know, we have a young team, and, you know, we don't have a lot of size, but I like our group. Really good group attitude-wise. We have some good shooters. And they're very enthusiastic. I think they have a chance to have a successful season. We have a road game on Friday against Foothill College. They're a solid team. And we go to a tournament up in Reading, and we have a tournament at our place. And we play San Francisco City College, who's probably one of the best junior college teams in the country, at home on December 5th. And that'll be a big challenge for us, see if we can compete with them. But, I think that, you know, we're going to be competitive. I like our group. We don't have a lot of numbers. We're not big. We can't afford to have any injuries, but it's been a fun group to work with so far.
Mm-hmm. Kids today, you've been doing this almost 20 years, at least at this level. How have they changed in the 20 years as a coach?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how much the kids have changed. It's just the way some parents are with their kids. Just, you know, some people try to live their lives vicariously through their kids, and especially when it comes to sports, and, you know, it makes it difficult, puts pressure on kids, and they don't enjoy the whole experience as much when they have parents like that. Mm-hmm. We've been fortunate to have a really good group of guys the last 6 or 7 years, and I think in recruiting, I've really tried not to recruit guys with unrealistic expectations, mm-hmm. or, you know, major attitude problems, or guys that have just had a lot of history of being in trouble. You know, sometimes guys come that have some baggage and they get squared away, and that's rewarding, but I don't want too many of the high-risk guys. It just didn't seem to work out for us.
Right. You know, I think that was one of Lute's big mantras. You know, you get good guys, they'll do good things for you.
Yeah. Coach told me that when I got the job here.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you find good guys, they'll find a way to get the job done. He said, you get knuckleheads, they'll find a way to screw it up. And I was young and wanted to win a lot of games. I took some gamble on some really talented guys, you know, like last chance you type guys, and it never worked out. I kicked a lot of guys off the team. We had problems, chemistry problems, and I just said, you know, it's not worth it. It's no fun. I'm not going to do that anymore.
So life's a lot better right now.
Yeah, yeah. We practice at 5 o'clock. I know everyone's going to be on the court there ready to go at 5 o'clock, and I'm not getting calls from instructors about guys, you know, being a problem in class or anything like that. So it's been a good group.
Go ahead. I have Francisco Romero with me in studio, so go ahead. He's going to ask a question.
Hey, Craig, I just wanted to say hello to you. I was a freshman when you guys went to the Final Four at the U of A. So you gave
us
a lot
of... Yeah, those were exciting times with the basketball team, weren't they?
Yeah, very, very good times. Actually, my little brother cried when you guys lost to New Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. What was it, 12-1 record?
Yeah.
Undefeated.
But the reality is, I never thought I'd be talking to you, seriously. Even though we were in school at the same time, I was a freshman and you were in the basketball team, but I just want to say congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much, Francisco.
And you gave us a lot of great moments here in Tucson.
Craig,
the
one thing I've been trying to ask some of my guests for the last couple of days is, what would today's Craig, give advice to the young Craig back when he was 20, 21?
You know, I think always probably could have been a little bit more responsible with the books and all that stuff. Everybody, I think when they get older, they
right.
look back at the younger days, they say that. As far as the basketball goes, I always worked hard at my skills and that. I think one thing that weights were just becoming a big part of, mm-hmm. of basketball at that time, and it was kind of new, and I don't think our teammates probably put the emphasis on it. The coaching staff did, and they pushed us. But if your heart's not 110% into it as a player, you know, you're not going to get the most out of it. I think I probably could have had more success on the basketball court had I put more into the strength training. I think it's very important in basketball.
Right. Nowadays, no question. Let me ask you, too. You came at a good time when all these, you know, Sean Elliott and all these guys. Who was the best player that you faced or saw?
The best player I faced or saw was Sean Elliott in
yeah.
practice every day.
right. No, he had to have made you better, too.
Yeah. You know, I was fortunate when Coach Olson took a team over to the Jones Cup tournament in Taiwan, and he had a couple of roster spots available, and he took me and Michael Tate. I was just going into mm-hmm. Arizona, and I played with Karl Malone, Winston Bennett, Brad Doherty, Larry Krystkowiak, Del Curry. I mean, that was an unbelievable experience playing with that talented group of guys.
Right. Wasn't that like 85, 86, something like that?
No, it was the summer of 84.
84, okay. Wow. Yeah, so that was a great experience for you first.
And
Michael Tate.
And then we played against all the top college teams and top players when I was there. And, you know, there's some unbelievable players I played against. And probably, you know, probably the best player I ever played against was we played against the Soviet national team over in France. And Arvidas Sabonis was like 20 years old at the time, and he was unreal.
Right.
If that guy would have gone straight to the NBA then, he would have maybe had a chance to be one of the all-time great big men in the history of the game.
Was it that
by the time he came to the NBA, he just already had bad knees and was older and hadn't played against that competition, still did well. If he'd have been there at 20, who knows what he could have done.
Right. Wasn't that the shot with Joe Turner and the shot of him trying to guard him?
That was Vladimir Tkachenko. He was a little bigger than Arvydas Sabonis.
What was he, 7'3"?
I think he's taller than that. Wow. I'm not sure. He's probably like 7'5", 7'6".
That was one of the all-time classic photos, Joe Turner trying to guard the guy.
It makes Joe look like he's 5'6", or something.
Right. Hey, thanks for joining us. I appreciate the call. This is my third show, and I wanted to have you on and talk about good old days.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve.
All right, good luck this season.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hey, I think we're going to be taking a break here in a second. Hope to see you on the other side.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
What does it mean to own a Lexus? It means you'll never be without one. If yours is in for service, we give you a complimentary loaner Lexus. Not a ride in a shuttle van or a seat on the couch. Another Lexus, till yours is ready. It means the highest level of luxury, technology, performance, and dependability. But don't take our word for it. Ask a Lexus owner. You know, the one with a perpetual smile on their face. Lexus of Tucson. At Speedway in Columbus, in the Auto Mall, or LexusofTucson.com.
At SunStreet Mortgage, we want to say a special thank you to our employees, our clients, and all of our referral partners who have made SunStreet what it is today. To show and express our thanks, SunStreet continues to give back to the local Tucson community by sponsoring several local charities and various athletic teams to support our children and young adults, which is SunStreet's philanthropic mission. Take the street that leads you home, SunStreet Mortgage.
AZBK number 0907366, NMLS number 145171. SunStreet Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender.
Fall into the season with Fellowship Square Tucson. Join us Wednesday, November 14th from 1 to 3 p.m. for a fall festival. Enjoy refreshments, raffles, and more as you listen to the melodic sounds of the Saguaro Sunset Trio. While you're there, ask for a free tour. Fellowship Square, Tucson's only Christian-based retirement community. Fellowship Square offers quality, active senior living as well as compassionate, assisted living. So come by and check out our fall festival on November 14th. Call Janine to RSVP at 886-5537 or at fellowshipsquareseniorliving.org.
I'm Bernard Buford with the Architecture Company. We have earned the loyalty and respect of our clients by listening to their dreams and creating dazzling designs. Since we have been using Leshanach Network Solutions for routine and automated maintenance on our computers, our downtime has been close to zero. This helps us meet our target dates. We rely on Leshanach to help keep us up and running.
The Architecture Company trusts us with their network, shouldn't you? Call us today at 888-9122. Leshanach Network Solutions, 888-9122.
My story is yours. I am a mother.
I'm a father. A son.
A daughter. I am in recovery from a mental illness.
A substance use disorder.
With support from family and community,
we are victorious.
Join the Voices for Recovery. Our families, our stories, our recovery.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral for you or someone you know, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm John C. Scott, and along with Bill Buckmaster, we'll count the votes on election night, Tuesday, November the 6th from 7 until when it's over.
John, I am looking forward to it. We have so much to cover on election night. Finally, after all the months and in some cases years of talking, the votes will be counted.
Election coverage at its best.
On AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Steve Rivera here on Eye on the Ball, KVOI 1030 AM. If you feel free, call us at 790-2040. This is my third show of the new format that we have. So it's kind of going okay, I think. How's it going, Bob?
I think you are doing fantastic, and that's the word on the street here at KVOI, is you are pretty darn amazing.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I'm going to put that on my resume. Can you do that? I'll do that.
I can type it up right now.
Oh,
I was working on it anyway. You know, I watched the whole football game the other day.
Oh, you did?
And then you bring in guests, and I can't even say, hey, Steve, I watched an entire football game.
That's funny, because I was going to ask you, and then we kind of got the guests coming in, but how did you enjoy it? I mean, they won.
You know, it was so funny. It was so enjoyable, but so different. Me and my dad were watching it together, and just I'm watching that kid kick 55 yards, and I'm getting like goosebumps. I'm going, Dad, did you see that? My dad's 91. He doesn't holler as much as he used to in his 80s, so he goes, pretty amazing.
And that was his excitement.
Yeah, you know, occasionally he'd read his John Grisham book and then go back to the TV, but you know,
right.
He's
well,
91.
Well,
he
good. You did some homework for me. Thank you very much. And they won. They looked pretty good.
Yeah, I'm so delighted. My dad said the Vegas line was 3 points. And
right.
It looked they were going to, you know, Vegas was going to win either way there with a 2-point spread. So.
Right. And it would look like it was going to be a close game because Arizona couldn't stop them early. And then Colorado just didn't take advantage of the opportunity. And then Arizona stormed back.
And I, you know what I was discussing with the real football expert in our family, my wife, Jennifer, is that she said, you know, she was wondering if it wasn't Rodriguez, him playing, that really got Tate fired up and ready to, like, really prove himself.
Yeah, well, I think that's a decent theory. I don't know if it's right, but he got healthy. The quarterback got healthy.
Oh, my gosh.
And now he's playing very well.
Those bullets he threw and the catches, I'm getting goosebumps just talking
right,
about it.
Right, right, right. No, not so much the bullets, but he did do those. It was the perfect passes that just lopped right into their hands.
That couple right near the end zone. Just
right.
Beautiful.
Well, God, I think I found a fan in Bob. We could talk more sports from now on. Yeah.
We can at least talk about that game over and over.
On weekends, Monday shows will be like that. That'd be fine with me. Okay, Francisco? Let's talk about some of the things you've done in the past. Francisco was you born and raised in Southern Arizona?
Yeah, I was born in Nogales and moved to Tucson at age 12.
Age 12, and you had this dream of becoming who you become, a radio guy? First, probably a baseball player.
Yeah, first of all, baseball player. When you were born in Nogales and you grow up there, your family plays baseball.
Uh-huh.
It's, your dad teaches you how to throw the knuckleball at 6 years old. Mm-hmm. At least that's what my dad did.
Right, right.
But yeah, dreaming of playing baseball. One of the things was that I was born in Nogales, Mexico, so when I came to Tucson, I didn't speak any English at 12. You know, being a little good ball player, when I get here, it's like, wow, where do I sign up?
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was my dream. One of the things that I thought about first was, hey, when I go to the United States and live there, I want to touch a baseball field. I want to feel what the grass feels like,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you see it on TV. So that was one of the things that, you know, that ran through my mind. Never did I thought
it's the same grass.
Yeah, it's the same grass. But never did I think it was. I was going to do it every day, you know.
Right, right. So then, when did the dream of becoming a radio guy start?
You know, and as I started going through high school, and I ran track, cross country, and I didn't play ball.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's when it started. Okay, I was thinking I'm too late to play with these guys who are very good, and so I'm like, and it started when I was. When we got here, my brother and I, like I said, we didn't speak English, but we wanted to listen to Dodger games. We wanted to listen to Fernando Valenzuela back in 1981,
mm-hmm.
and we couldn't. And we got here in the summer, so we tuned the radio, we'd look for games or to hear games. And all of a sudden, one day, my brother goes, hey, they're talking about the Dodgers on this radio station. I go, you're lying. Mentiroso. I said, and then we start hearing, you know, Jerry Royce, David Lopes, Bill Russell,
mm-hmm.
Ron Say. Oh, yeah, they are the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 400 KTUC back then that had the radio, the uh-huh. Dodger games. And they had the pregame, the pre-pregame. They had the game, the postgame, the post-postgame. And so we started listening religiously to the games. And by the time we started school in September, we could understand the whole game. Little did we know that we were listening to the best broadcaster of them all, you know, Vince Scully
mm-hmm.
and Jerry Doggett and Porter and all those guys.
Right, and you're Chrysler. What? You're about 18, 17?
I was 12 years old.
At the time, 12, okay.
At that time, when I was 12 years old, listening to the games. And so the World Series in 1981, we listened to it, the Dodgers and the Yankees. And so that's how it all started.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, I want to broadcast games, you know, in Spanish. So people like me.
And that's what you went to school for?
No, actually, I finished in political science.
Oh, really?
Because
my son still has hope because that's what he got his degree in.
And the reason is because I went to Pueblo High School, then I went to U of A, and I started working for elected officials. I used to work at the Board of Supervisors at the era where Raul Grijalva, Dan Ekstrom, Rich Morrison was there, Greg Lund was there, Ed Moore. That was a good era. I learned a lot, so I got interested in politics. So I changed my major to political science, and that's how I changed my major.
Luckily, you got out of that.
Well, I wanted to go to law school, but yeah, luckily I got out of it. And then in 1996, the D-backs came into the picture. Mike Fader hired me because I was working for the county at that time for the Department of Environmental Quality. And so, and then I started working at Telemundo doing sports, you know, it's like maybe hobby, part-time, I don't know how what you want to call it. But then Mike Fader recruited me to work for the Sidewinders as the Director of Hispanic Marketing and the broadcaster. And in 1989, the D-backs gave me a chance to broadcast my first game in the majors. And ironically, it was against the Dodgers.
Oh, great. And you probably met Vin Scully.
Well, I met Vin Scully, and my broadcast partner called him. So I told him this story that I kind of learned English with his broadcast, and he was very happy. We talked for about 15 minutes, not, you know, just dinner at Bank One Ballpark at that time. And then 5 years later, I'm broadcasting for the Brewers. So the Dodgers come into town. I go into Vince Scully's booth, and I knocked, and I said, Mr. Scully, I just want to say hello. He goes, Francisco, come in. You know, you remember my name.
Right, which is great.
But that's where it all started. The D-backs gave me a chance to broadcast a few games and to produce the games. Well, the same thing with the Sidewinders. I was doing the Tucson Sidewinders with Mike Fader.
Right, right. You almost had my eyes glazed over when you were talking about politics. I almost fell asleep. Thanks for waking me up, Bob. With that nudge.
<You're very welcome>.
but now you're living a dream kind of for a lot of people who want to do what you do.
Yes, yes. And long story short, I did Brewers and then I did Twins, Reds. I was in Gil Heredia from Nogales, Arizona, and I broadcasted the first Reds games in Spanish ever back in 2005. But the opportunity came in 2007. I interviewed actually for the Twins job and the Astros job. The Twins offered it to me. But I turned it down because it was part-time. It was Director of Hispanic Marketing and Broadcaster, broadcasting about 40 games. But the Astros job was a full-time broadcaster, so I said no to the Twins. And then the Astros called me in March of 2008 on our way to the Pac-10 tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so they offered me the job, and I took it.
Yeah, and you've been with them since?
Ever since 2008, and it's been a great ride.
Right. No, it's been a great ride. As you hadn't seen you since you arrived, maybe a little on Saturday, but now I see you as you sit in front of me with this World Series ring. and I might have to borrow it from you a night or two on a weekend. I went 500, batted 500, making some stats. But that's very impressive. Tell me, what kind of ride was that last year for the team and then for you?
You know, we got there in 2008, right when they had gone to the World Series in 2005, 3 years after. So it wasn't that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people were excited when I got there because they had a good team. Lance Berkman, and then they had Tejada and Roy Oswalt, that team. So people were excited. But then the team shifted.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, they started selling players. They wanted to get younger, and they wanted to get rid of payroll. And then in 2011, they sold it. So then we got to the years where the team lost 100 games, 3 seasons in a row. And the only fans in the stands were my wife, Larissa, and my daughter, Isabella. You know, they stayed there for the whole time.
Only because they wanted to know you were still working at the Astros.
Yeah. And so they also lived there. Like I said, baseball is not a job. It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, my family worked with me, basically. And so you asked me how it was for me. So I'm just telling you this because then we saw the evolution of the new era. We saw the players come in, Jose Altuve, then Springer, then Correa, then Bregman, and then they get all this free agents. And then we see a great, beautiful team that won the World Series last year. And the ride it had its highs and lows. That game 5 of the World Series was just amazing. And then game 7, you know, winning it all, it's just icing on the cake.
Before I tear up for you, we'll go to break, and we'll talk more about this on the other side. Thank you.
It's Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Listen to Kyrsten Sinema attacking Arizona and making fun of us to her liberal friends.
In my state, Arizona is clearly the meth lab of democracy. People would watch what was happening in Arizona and be like, damn, those people are crazy. And I want to talk to you about some of the things that I think that you can do to stop your state from becoming Arizona.
Kyrsten Sinema is an extremist, an elitist, and a fraud. Arizona deserves better.
I'm Martha McSally. I have dedicated my life to serving the country and the state that I love. I became America's first female combat pilot and led airstrikes against the Taliban after 9/11. Now I'm leading the fight to secure our border, force insurance companies to cover pre-existing conditions, and protect girls and women from sex trafficking. I approve this message because I'm proud to represent Arizona, and I'm ready to continue the mission. I'd be honored to have your vote.
I'm Martha McSally, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McSally for Senate, Inc.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley, Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
I'm John C. Scott, and along with Bill Buckmaster, we'll count the votes on election night, Tuesday, November the 6th, from 7 until when it's over.
John, I am looking forward to it. We have so much to cover on election night. Finally, after all the months and in some cases years of talking, the votes will be counted.
Election coverage at its best.
On AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk.
Local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Francisco Romero, the Spanish voice, radio voice of the Houston Astros, native of southern Arizona and now a Tucsonan. And he does the Spanish voice of the Arizona Wildcats.
Actually, this is my 20th season with the Wildcats.
Is it?
Back in 99 of December, we broadcasted our first game.
You were not even shaving at the time.
I'm still not shaving.
You're still not shaving? And that's all I need to do is shave. I just don't want to. So, Tim, we talked about Houston. We'll kind of go there. We'll finish the segment here for Houston. And then we'll talk a lot about Arizona sports on the other side at 2 o'clock, which I'm looking forward to because you have a different perspective than I have because you're more of a fan. But we'll talk about it more later. And that's no harm that you're a fan. But so tell me, this year or last year was an incredible year. You ended up, not surprisingly, just kind of dominating. It was a great run.
For a lot of people say that it was a surprise. But having followed the team since the new ownership, it has been a process that we knew was going to come. We're gonna get to. And before I was with the Astros, I wouldn't follow minor league baseball that much or the process of developing players. And now with the new ownership and the new GM since 2011-2012, Jeff Luno, he sits with us. He was born in Mexico City, of United States citizens' parents. His parents were in the travel industry, so he was born in Mexico. But so he speaks Spanish, and he sits with us every Friday home game. So we get to learn a lot about the system, the new baseball mm-hmm. system, and how he says that an engineering degree and an economics major. So the way they develop the players now, the way they, the Moneyball style to the second degree, if you would say so, it's very interesting. And I mean, and it worked. Uh-huh. The Astros won the World Series. I mean, so it was definitely a nice ride. We did lose 100 games a few seasons. But then it all culminated in the World Series last year.
And they had a great run at it this year, too. Very good baseball team.
103 wins, the most wins for one season for the Astros in the franchise history. So they had a good run. Good. The five starters, we only used five starters up until the middle of August. It is unheard of. And so it's a great team. I still believe it was the best team in the majors this year, but obviously they didn't win it all.
Sure. Tell me, because you went through the bad times of the team and the good times, obviously, it's funny how people think that you're attached to the team but you don't hits, you don't need to do runs, no errors, all that stuff, but you talk about them, like as I write about them. People think you're kind of attached to the team. And, how was it going to the stadium? On bad days, because it's almost like when they're bad, you just hate going to the stadium. But when they're good, you enjoy going to the stadium. Maybe that may not be true. Is that true?
Well, in a way, and the way it is, in a way, it's not. Because me having followed baseball all my life, it's to me was a blessing going to do the job that I did.
Even when they're 50?
Even when they're losing 100 games. Because you get to see Major League Baseball at the highest level. And so for me, It was never a drag. Some people talk about the dog days of baseball, dog mm-hmm. days of summer, but the reality is you're broadcasting Major League Baseball games. I mean, to me, that's a blessing, mm-hmm. even if they're losing a lot of games. But the best part of it is seeing how it all unfolded in the developing stages of everything, how they got to, we could go days talking about how they picked their drafts, mm-hmm. what they did and how they developed. And so those are the interesting things that really got me going. Sometimes you think that you know it all when you really don't know anything.
Sure.
And
it's called being a teenager.
All that I learned over the last few years, it's been amazing and about the new system and about the development of players, how Latin American players now learn English, get their high school diploma through GED, and about how the United States players develop through the systems, the way they eat now, the way they travel. So it's pretty interesting to learn all about.
There were some connections to the Southern Arizona on that team besides you. I mean, there were, we had talked because I was from Santa Fe. There was Bregman from Albuquerque, and I didn't know that until last year. You had told me about a local. The connection.
Yeah. Craig Bjornsson, who went to Tucson High, he pitched at Tucson High, and also Brent Strom, who coached the Toros mm-hmm. to their championship season, I believe, back in the early 90s. And so that, and also Alan Zinter was our hitting coach a few years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How was that? I mean, and there were two of them were there now, right?
Craig Bjornsson just won the World Series with Boston. Mm-hmm. Alex Cora took it.
But how was it with them on the roster? And knowing you from the hometown, I'm sure you talked to them a lot and conversed and became a friend.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Actually, Craig and I would do the road trip after the season from Houston to Tucson.
Oh.
We sleep a lot on the road, but
yeah.
It was pretty cool. And Brent Strom also. I mean, I see him here at when he's teaching kids at different places in town. So we got to, you know, we were friends before. And Alan Zinter was a senior when I was a freshman in college. He was an All-American catcher,
right?
And so I knew a lot of him, and to get to know him personally, it was pretty cool. But yeah, but you developed that relationship, that friendship, and then being one was the pitching coach, the bullpen coach, and the hitting coach. You know, you get a lot from them. You get a good understanding of what the team is doing.
Having been a big fan as a kid, I was a Cincinnati Red fan growing up. And you have, I guess, your announcer, was it Trevino?
My broadcast partner is Alex Trevino. Huh?
And he was a major league ball player. So I not lived through your lives, but you have all these Facebook posts. But you've met some great old timers.
Well, let me tell you, sometimes Alex doesn't like that I act like a fan because.
But you are. I mean, that's what makes you.
A lot of broadcasters, a lot of former players are broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have Rick Monday from the Dodgers. And mm-hmm. I asked him, hey, Rick, what was it like hitting that home run against the Expos back in 91? And then he said, oh, all I was thinking was this was really cold in Montreal. And then Ray Fosse, we become not friends, but we talk
sure,
a lot.
Sure.
He was the catcher when Pete Rose, remember, hit him in that All-Star mm-hmm. game. Don Sutton, mm-hmm. I see him there, Eckersley. And I see Alex Rodriguez, but you know he doesn't talk to us that much. but you get to sit. Oh, Keith Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
I get to have a dinner with Keith Hernandez from time to time. Now that we're in the American League, not that much, but before we did. So I get to see and I post the pictures. J.R. Richards.
Yes, I remember that one.
He's huge.
He's huge, and he was a big time player back in the day.
I remember the first time when he came back from his surgery. He pitched with the Toros, mm-hmm. and I was at that game as a kid.
Yeah.
So those are memories that, and then the Toros belonged to the Astros back then. So
right.
I watched Craig Biggio play here, mm-hmm. and Alex played a little bit in Tucson when he was injured. So going back to your questions, yes, I get to meet a lot of players who I watched during my years as a youngster.
Well, that part of your charm, and I don't mean this in a bad way, is you're a fan. And you're a fan and you enjoy what you do, and there's no harm in that. I used to be at one point. I'm not a fan anymore. But that's what your charm is, your excitement for the game, getting to go to the games. And I think that's been lost a lot by a lot of people because it wears on you, and it's a day-to-day grind sometimes.
It does wear on you. And I tell people who are fans to keep being fans because sometimes they ask me, and I tell them, yeah, sometimes you don't want to be in my job. Because sometimes you find players there who are in a bad mood or just jerks. Exactly. So I try to avoid that and just do my job.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't want to have them as friends either because they have their own world and
sure.
I have my own world.
Sure.
And we treat each other that way. I'm a fan of the game, yes. I'm a fan of a lot of the players. And I'm a fan of a lot of the current players because they deserve to have fans because of their personality.
Yeah.
And the Astros have a lot of players like that. Like Jose Altuve is a great guy. Carlos Correa.
He's amazing to me.
Yeah.
What is he, 5'8"?
He's
5'6"?
He's 5'5", and he's listed as 5'6".
On a good day? I mean, come on, he's that, and he's amazing. He's one of the best ball players in the world.
He's a very humble person, very family-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So you become a fan not only of them as players, but you become a fan of them as people. Huh?
Right, right. Do you have a pregame, postgame?
We have a small pre- and postgame, huh?
And how's that go? Because you probably just have the Hispanic players on.
No, we actually try to. Actually, what I have is webisodes, and I interview also English speaking players,
uh-huh.
and we put subtitles. Like my best interview this year was with Gerrit Cole. Oh, Gerrit Cole is a great. You know, he went to UCLA,
uh-huh.
and he was drafted by the Yankees in the first round. You know, who doesn't sign with the Yankees in the first
right.
round? But he was a great interview because of what he told me about going to UCLA and playing in the Pac-10 or the Pac-12. And so he was one of the best guys I interviewed this year.
Okay. I think we're going to end the first hour here. Thanks for joining us on Eye on the Ball. We'll get you on the other half, Francisco, and talk more about U of A.